I don't want to munch on the mic.
Guppy face, trouty mouth. Is that how people's lips look where you come from in the south? Group of mouth, froggy lips. I love sucking on those salamander lips.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. I started it totally wrong. I totally blanked because I was listening to the song and I was like, I wonder how it's going to get to the bridge. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm Josh, and that's Jen, that's Ed. I'm totally thrown off now.
You always put us in the circle again. Don't do it.
Why did I do that? So, let's see. What have we got? Here we go.
You were just lost in the seductive sounds of Santana.
Santana Lopez.
You wish she was singing about your mouth like that.
I don't have a trouty mouth.
No, I'm saying you wish she could.
Oh, you wish she...
You wish she was.
You wish I was... But that song would be so boring. It would be like, lipless mouth... Like, hole in your face. It would be horrible.
Oh my God. So, wow.
Anyway, welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We are back. We don't have an episode to discuss this week, so we're going to take a little bit of time listening to some voicemails, reading some emails, reading some tweets, and a bit of a conversation about Santana Lopez.
Yeah.
As Ed Something requested said. Last time.
The response has been good, so oh, yeah. I say we just listen to Ed. Always.
If we listen to you, Ed, though, it would just be like we just play Ellie Goulding to open the show, and then we'd always highlight Lady Gaga's new single.
I'm going to go see her next week, and I'm super stoked.
No doubt.
I'm kind of concerned because I did request her as a Facebook friend, like. Because I found her like real account under a fake name, and she blocked me, so I'm somewhat concerned that she's gonna kick me out. But just somewhat.
They're gonna have a wanted poster at the entrance of the concert.
Yes.
And I've been like tweeting to her, I'll be at the Chicago concert with the machete. Yay!
Wow.
No, okay. I didn't say that. Oh my God.
How did you find her? How did you track her down?
Because I knew this one person who was friends with her producer. So I went through him to find her producer, and then in the producer, he accidentally tagged her in a picture with her Facebook real name.
Wow.
And needless to say, that picture's gone, and I can't find that page anymore. So I am not a stalker, and thank you for.
Good to know.
Coming.
Yeah.
Well, so,
I'm a good researcher.
Well, we have a ton of new listeners this week. We want to thank everybody for downloading last week's show. We got more downloads last week than we've ever had on an episode ever.
Awesome.
It was a huge week for us, so thank you very much. We hope you're still listening.
Would you tell me after the show the number? Because I'm curious.
I'll look it up again. Okay. But yes, we do hope that you are still listening to the show, because I have a hunch most of you were just trying to download Trouty Mouth, which happened to be the title of the last episode.
Ooh.
But welcome. Sneaky. You are welcome. We will discuss Glee this week, or the Gleeverse, since there isn't exactly an episode. And I'll go ahead and title this episode Only Child, and we'll try it again. We'll see if we can do it again. But wow. But we love the listeners, and it's great to have everybody here, so welcome. If you're new to the show, and Ed, you had mentioned earlier that not all of the episodes are downloadable on iTunes. I think iTunes will give you back to like the mid-30s.
Yeah, and, episode 35, Finn Can Fly, which is why... I don't know if it was last episode or a couple episodes back, where I was like, why is episode 35 so improportionately more popular than the rest? Because It's the first episode you can download. Interesting. So Josh, why don't you tell me how I could download the previous 34?
Well, Ed, if you wanted to listen to all the episodes of the Gleeful Podcast minus 10, 12, and 13, which I need to fix, you can do so at gleefulpodcast.com. And if I get my act together, I will fix episodes 10, 12, and 13 tonight, as I got a couple emails from some very nice listeners over the last couple weeks.
Aww.
So, and even a tweet, I think. So,
that is serious.
From Token what's, Northerner.
I know once you start having a trending topic, jocks fix this. That's exactly. A problem. Like, it's a problem.
Yeah, you should all hashtag Josh fix this. That would be so good for my spirit.
Oh, can I start? Can I start?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to tweet it right now. Josh fix this.
Well, we opened up a Trouty Mouth there. That is the studio version of the song. Last week, we listened to the television performance. I know people were really clamoring for the studio. Ed just tweeted, Josh fix this.
Nice.
So I know people were really clamoring for the studio version of the song. I personally didn't find it that different. Ed, well, did you get
it? It's the exact same, because like the song just abruptly ends on the episode, and that's just as far as they recorded, because they knew that's how much they were going to use on the episode. So it's literally identical.
Yeah, it's just the version she lip-synced, and where usually the songs that you can download on iTunes have
because those are real songs. Those are real. Not to say that Trouty Mouth isn't a real song, because it's charted in the top iTunes top 200. Mm. That's a real song then, right?
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, it's raining, and also for the new listeners, we live across the street from a fire station, so you will probably hear the sirens several times during this episode.
And just please note that we do live in a safe neighborhood. we don't live in a little, you know, crack house tenement somewhere. It's a nice neighborhood, so.
At least it isn't an active crack house.
That's true. So thank you, Ed, for the disclaimer.
I've been there, and I can attest, I didn't die.
You didn't die. No. Yeah, it wasn't an active crack house. Well, they also released Big Ass Heart, and let's go ahead and take a listen to this studio version. It should sound exactly like the one we listened to last time.
My girl went to the doctor because her heart had palpitations. They cut the carbs or else she'd end up pushing up carnation. She stepped up on the scale and the doctor said, oh lordy, if you don't drop a few, girl, you won't make it past age 40. My girl said, hey looky on that fancy x-ray chart. Said the doctor, holy hell, that's 1 GD, big ass heart. I'm telling you, my friend, my girl's got a big ass heart. When she shops for groceries, that heart its own damn cart, that big ass heart.
It was at least nice that when they release the songs on iTunes, they're only 69 cents.
Well, because they're only a minute
songs, yeah.
15 songs, so yeah.
But honestly, if they released them for $1.39 like all the other songs that they put up, people would still pay it. So it's nice of them to recognize that they're not, you know, they're not songy songs, you know. It is
I don't know if Trouty Mouth is a cult classic for real.
It's impressive that they charted. You've been following that, haven't you, Ed?
I've been following it a bit. Yeah, I saw it on the iTunes top 200. I was hoping it was going to get into top 10. It's like maybe no.
There's been a lot of talk of the Glee Music Presents the Warblers, which is coming out.
April 19th, yes.
Did you see the cover art for it?
I want to see. Show me.
I'm pulling it up as we speak.
I don't know if it's the official one, but the picture I saw was pretty hysterical.
Yes, it is the Warblers. Let me send this to you, Ed. It is the Warblers jacket with the
lapel.
And the lapel is a picture of a dead Pavarotti?
Yes.
Oh, Pavarotti!
I think that's actually a branch he's on. I don't think that's actually...
No, I think it's a line.
Yeah, like across through him. Well, yes,
rest in peace, Pavarotti.
Glee the Music Presents the Warblers will be available April 19th. Nearly 1 million songs sold in 1 week, making the biggest weekly single sales in Glee history. The listeners love the Warblers. The release features songs performed by the Dalton Academy Warblers, a male a cappella group starring Darren Criss, Chris Colfer, and the Tufts University Beelzebubs. And it will have all of their songs. It also has some new ones, which I'm not going to mention because we try to stay away from spoilers, but you can find that on the internet and get all the details there. Let me see. I need to send this link to Ed because I know he'll want to see this.
It's cute.
But yeah, I already have all these songs from downloading them individually, but I guess for, you know, the people that like the package CDs, that'll be pretty cool.
Well, there are, like, I was talking to some people who like buy the CDs and they like listen to them in the car and they've been like, they're like, they've been like, WTF, where's the Warblers? Because the only Teenage Dream has made the CD, which is ridiculous. Oh, that's cute. Oh, R.I.P. Pavarotti.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I didn't know if that was just concept or the, whoever, if the blogger put it together, but that looks like it's the official.
Oh, I see a song on the spoiler list that excites me.
Ooh, don't say.
I saw a song on the spoiler list. I didn't say what it was.
It'll be something to look forward to for me who doesn't like spoilers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Santana. In a bit, we'll listen to some of our favorite Santana performances. But Santana is, of course, performed by Naya Rivera. And she was never supposed to be as big of a character as she became. Mm. She, along with Heather, kind of just showed up and took over. Yeah. And really took screen time away from characters that were supposed to be more significant.
I'm sure. Finn.
Yeah, well, and definitely Finn.
I would say the people who should be most angry right now are Tina and Mercedes.
Exactly. So,
and arguably Mark and other Asian, which I can't think of his name right now.
Very sure. Well, no, I think that Mike was always supposed to be pretty much the size that Mike is. I mean,
yeah. I'd be bitter about being kicked off the show, if nothing else.
Honestly, I'd be bitter if I were Quinn. Because I think Quinn is the one that really, I mean, of the three Cheerios, they were her backup.
True. That's true. They were always supposed to just make her look good, and they end up kind of taking over. It is kind of crazy. I mean, I would say that Tina is probably the one who's become the most short, the most shafted.
Yeah, at least because people talk about how Mercedes gets shafted, which she does, but because people talk about it, she gets stuff.
She does,
And then Quinn has her moments, and then Tina is like, nowhere. Like, where is Tina?
Yeah, like, she's just left with, you know, Asian jokes and, you know, sex jokes now.
She hasn't really done anything.
I mean, in a way, having Mike be her boyfriend now at least gives her some more screen time. Like, they have to at least kind of address that.
They have to keep her in the background for things.
Exactly.
I know, like during, she wrote the song with Tina, Tranny Mouth, but all she did was, like, play some piano chords. I'm like, whatever.
Well, and we were all kind of watching that saying, you know, that's awesome. I'm happy that you wrote the song with Tina, but Tina didn't do anything. Yeah. And since when was Santana and Tina hanging out? When did this start?
And since when was Tina playing piano?
That's also a good point.
It doesn't matter because Tina's because she had another life at another high school while this is going on. That's what's happening.
We're gonna find out that Tina is actually goes someplace else.
There's a girls' version of Dalton Academy.
There you go.
There is the ones that showed up for Animal.
That's right.
Wow.
And man, your memory freaks me
out. I've got to rewatch all of these.
Oh, we definitely will. So I was looking at some of Naya Rivera's previous works. She hasn't really done anything of great significance. She had a couple episodes of the Bernie Mac show. She appeared on 8 Simple Rules. And her character was entitled Nice Girl.
I don't think I saw that episode.
And she was, of course, in Master of Disguise.
Nice Girl?
Dana Carvey.
She was the nice girl?
She was. I don't see how that's possible. I think it's in her blood.
Yeah.
We've seen her on panels before, and she's sweet as can be. You can definitely tell that she's not evil all the time. She's from Valencia, California, which has the distinction of being named the best place in America to live for like 4 years running.
And it's where Six Flags is. Yay!
Yay! There you go.
Sorry. That's the only thing I know about Valencia.
As a baby, she appeared in commercials for Kmart.
Very nice.
But her first significant acting job was at the age of 4 when she starred as Hillary Wilson in the Eddie Murphy-produced sitcom The Royal Family in 1991, according to Wikipedia. Nip/Tuck popped up on the Wikipedia page.
Like,
and in 2010, she made the Maxim Hot 100 list, coming in at number 61. So there you go.
Not bad.
And she's best friends in real life with Heather Morris, just like her character on the show.
Sweet girl kisses.
Half Puerto Rican, quarter African American, and German. So there you go. Yeah, you know, it's funny that there's not a lot of people on this show that we really knew before the show. The guest stars we'd heard of, but there's not a lot of people that we had a great, you know, finding.
Well, that's what makes, like anyone who's at their greatest, most of the time before that did nothing of significance that was significant. like, for real.
Well, I think that what you're trying to say, Ed, and I agree with you in how I'm about to interpret it, is that for a lot of these people, they're getting their first shot. And when you get your first shot, you've nothing to lose. And I think that for a lot of these kids, this is their first shot. And so giving it 110% and totally swinging for the fences every time is something that you know, they have the ability to do.
Also, I think, though, it doesn't distract from what they've done or what they're doing. Because if they come into it with having this, you know, big career that everybody knows, like, oh, they're such and such.
Yeah,
oh,
I took this role because I needed this on my resume.
I wanted to
do something new. No?
Or if I wanted to break out and be a different type of character. They have no history, so that they're a clean slate and they are these characters. I mean, if anything, it's going to be harder for them to shake these characters than... They said about shows like Friends and Seinfeld. Those shows were so great and so iconic, and the characters were just amazing that they couldn't really shake them. So
yeah, the only character Matt LeBlanc gets to play now is Matt LeBlanc,
well, <there's that. laughs>
which is essentially a twist on Joey. It's funny because I know that Santana was in the pilot. I don't remember seeing her in the pilot.
What do you mean? She was at the... Oh, are you kidding me? She was in the I Say a Little Prayer. I don't know if that was the second episode. But in the first episode, for sure, in the Don't Stop Believing montage in the balcony with Sue and Quinn were Santana and Brittany.
Oh, yeah. They were her little minions. They were behind it all the way.
Wow. Well, I totally forgot that. Ed, do you have a favorite Santana moment?
Valerie.
Oh, Valerie.
Yeah, just play Valerie. I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, honestly, that's the one I was going to play because that is my favorite Santana
moment.
But
I have other Santana moments, but continue.
Well, we shall start with Valerie. How's that? Here's a bit of... as my computer wakes up and decides it actually wants to enjoy... This song.
It's the rain. The rain is slowing everything down out here.
It is. Yeah, you know, for people that aren't from California, the rain makes Californians go, what? They become cats.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Here's a bit of Valerie with Naya Rivera on lead vocals.
And I look across the water. And I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head.
That's also just a great song. And to hear the original, it sounds so different.
I know. I was listening to the Zutons, and I was like, lol, really? Really?
Well, you can see the gem is still there, but then when Mark Ronson did the cover on his solo album with Amy Winehouse, that's where it became this song. I mean, this isn't too far away from the Amy Winehouse version, except that it's, you know, got a lot more of Santana's style, whereas Amy Winehouse has a very specific style. Jennifer, did you have a favorite Santana song that you would like to play?
Well, I didn't pick a favorite song, per se. Well, I thought it was Moment.
Oh, yes, a favorite Santana moment.
Okay, and here's the thing. I've been reading all day long all of the amazing quotes that she's had and her rants and her, you know, her jabs at people, and they're all pretty epic.
Yeah.
And her songs are always great. But for me, I'm always struck more by how she reacts, especially to Britney. Like, the expression on her face when Britney says, you know, sharks or dolphins are just gay sharks, right? And it's that look of confusion and almost annoyance and then, like, mild acceptance on her face. I just think, like, to me, those are the moments that I really, really love. Everything else, I mean, is fantastic. Like, watching her get, you know, slammed, flung into lockers and, you know, cutting down anybody in the class she can possibly think of. They're all great, but I think I like the more subtle... Ow!
That's the cat trying to get on your lap.
Ow, sorry. The more subtle moments with her.
You make a good point. I mean, one of her... one of Naya Rivera's... She has incredible timing. And she has great reactions on the show. And things like... Even when she's not being mean, like when they were all chewing the tablets. And what did Carl say? Carl had made some comments. She's like, wanky. And it was just perfect timing. Yeah. She could really nail that type of stuff. You know, most of the listeners on Twitter had mentioned that their favorite Santana song was River Deep Mountain High, which I think was really our first big Santana song.
Our first one was Boy Is Mine.
Yeah, but I was going to say it was...
Well, okay, I'll give you that. That was definitely the first one. But this was the first one I really went, wow, she can sing.
No, the first one's Dead Romance, so you did that.
No. Did I really say that?
Yep.
Wow.
And do you have a notebook on all of us or just Josh?
I just remember things.
That's awesome. I might have to refer to you for notes sometime.
I was also looking at some of the other tweets that we got from people and their favorite moments. You know, a lot of people are bringing up when, in the last couple episodes, Santana started using this, like, street lingo. Mm-hmm. It kind of came up out of nowhere. I don't find it particularly funny, but she definitely does it better than some of the other characters that have done it occasionally. What do we think? Like, Ed, what do you think about the? Are they trying to just make her more street for the joke, or are they setting something up?
No, I think she's just. It's just like that's just how people talk. Like, I didn't even think anything of it. Apparently, I'm out of the loop on this because I notice it, but I don't notice it as like, oh, that's weird. No, I just it's like, oh, normal. Yeah, keep walking down the street.
It doesn't seem like it's completely out of character for her. Remember, she's from.
Lima Heights adjacent. I know, right?
So that's how the kids talk there. It's a tough neighborhood.
It is. She's from a part of town called Lima Heights adjacent.
Yeah.
That's so true. That could be my favorite Santana line. Yeah. There's something about that that's so funny to me. Because where we live, everyone's adjacent to something.
You're Beverly Hills adjacent.
I'm Toluca Lake adjacent. You're not in Toluca Lake. I'm sorry.
Then you're in that crappy town.
Exactly. That makes me laugh. So let's see. I was going to pull up the other thing. Ed, do you have any favorite Santana lines while I go hunt some things down?
There's a couple. The one that she says to Rachel, you know, normally you look like a sick, twisted fantasy of a Japanese businessman, but today I actually kind of like your look. And I've been trying. Okay, another. Okay, and from the Blame It on the Alcohol episode, there's this GIF I found of No Me Gusta, and I keep trying to plug that in places. No Me Gusta. So just a reminder, I owns that cuppy mouth. Those Abercrombie lips belong to me. You know what? This is not. Hey, honeys. This is not a Big Red commercial. No Me Gusta.
Wow.
We got a very nice email from listener Terry Ann. The title was My Favorite Santana Moments Equals All of Them. She had narrowed it down to three. She said her first moment was Bad Romance, which, as Ed said, that was the first time we got a hint of how amazing Naya Rivera's voice was. She said her voiceover in Silly Love Songs, where she says, time to do what Santana does best, revenge. and then she brings up, you know, Santana's softer side, which has really only come up in the last couple episodes. She's kind of the last character to go soft on us.
Or at least vulnerable.
Yeah, vulnerable, yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's not exactly soft right. in the sense that she's outwardly caring. But, you know, yeah, she's definitely shown a more vulnerable side.
Mm-hmm. We had this conversation back when Sue kind of went soft when we met her sister, mm-hmm. and we got to kind of get a little depth on Sue.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to lose something from Santana? I mean, once we kind of find the vulnerability under the evil character, it's not as much fun for them to be evil.
I feel like Sue is just as fun, and I feel like Santana. I mean, okay, I will say that Sue has been a little bit. It does seem a little bit disingenuous when she's super crazy, a la the Merry Christmas episode. But Santana is so much tougher, and we've seen this side of her, and I haven't changed my opinion. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it'll weaken her, at least initially, because I think right now she's, you know, she got jilted by Britney, so yeah, the total bitch is back, and she's, you know, going to be mean as ever and everything. But I think that, you know, when we do start to see more of a softer side, again, I don't think it'll take away from the power of the bitchiness. I think that that's really at core who she is. Even if she said it's just because she's, you know, afraid to express her feelings and be categorized or labeled.
I think it's going to come down to how it all plans out. You know, right now we haven't really seen which direction it's going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, she made that comment about, you know, it was when Britney had said, if I wasn't with Artie, I'd be with you. And she said, you know, I've realized why I'm so angry. It's because even though I'm dating all these guys, I really want to be with you. And if that plays out and that becomes kind of her sob story, I think she is going to lose the character of Santana, will lose a little bit of her fire, and will be a little bit less fun. Whether or not it comes to pass, we'll have to see. I mean, Sue continues to be awesome and evil, even though we get to see her sister occasionally, and we get to see, you know, Sue be tender at times and even be nice to the Glee Club when it's not in her best interest. She still manages to be evil, and we still manage to buy it. So, you know, we'll have to see how it turns out. It definitely is not the direction I thought we were going to see Santana go. I think that plot line took a lot of people by surprise, including me.
Well, again, I think it's still, you know, a question of whether or not, you know, is she a lesbian? Is she bisexual? Or is she just in love with Britney and, you know, likes guys too? So, I mean, I think that's going to be the kind of the defining thing for her, because she's so hung up on the label of it that I think that would really affect who she is.
Ed?
Like I was gonna say, I kind of agree with you. Like, I'm surprised that this storyline came out, but there, like, looking back, I can legitimately say that there is evidence of the proof. I mean, obviously, she was kissing Britney in a previous episode. So there isn't like this just came out of nowhere, but for me, it came out of nowhere because I never thought they would actually go to that point.
Yeah.
I always thought that her and Britney were always going to be like whatever they were, but they were going to. But Santana's with all these guys, so I don't know. I don't know. But my personal philosophy on sexuality, which I suppose is like kind of relevant to this conversation, is that no one is 100% straight or gay. It's like a percentage. Just like the world is gray, no one's evil or or good completely. It's just like you have a leniency towards one as opposed to the other. So there you go. I feel like she might be 30-70. Who knows? There you go.
Yeah, it's definitely not black or white, yeah. And the show to take that type of a stance is kind of it's an interesting plot line to explore. I can't think of a lot of shows that have really explored that you know aren't on Showtime. So listener Erica, she sent in her top five Santana quotes. Her number one was the same as yours, Ed. It goes, "Well, congratulations. Normally you dress like a fantasy of a perverted Japanese businessman with a dark specific fetish, but I actually dig this look."
Nice.
And one that I thought you'd mention, but you didn't, "I've had mono so many times it turned into stereo."
That was just, okay, that quote has been, I've heard that quote so many times and it was so awesome that I heard it, but I felt like if we're going to, like, I don't know, I don't want to hit the greatest hits. I want to hit the B-side sometimes.
Number three for listener Erica was, "How can you do a duet by yourself? It's like vocal masturbation or something." Mm-hmm. Number four is, "I'm like a lizard. I need something warm beneath me or else I can't digest my food." And she had number five, "I've kissed Finn and I can say not worth a buck. I would, however, pay $100 to jiggle one of his man boobs." So, listener Erica dug pretty deep for that. Wow. One that made me laugh. We did get some other favorite Santana moments. Listener Georgia had said, Rachel said, "Can I ask you guys something private?" And Santana said, "Yes, you should move to Israel."
Oh my god, I forgot about that one. That is the perfect B-side comment. Love you.
Listener Georgia also says she was in H&M today, this is in Sydney, Australia, and saw a hideous orange paisley maxi dress with long sleeves and made her think of Rachel's awful green dress and blame it on the alcohol.
Oh my god.
Perhaps she was starting a trend. Do you think Rachel's fashion sense will become popular?
No. This isn't Gossip Girl, and if anyone's going to do that, it's Brittany and Santana.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were definitely elements of it that she had before the others were out of their Cheerios uniforms. I mean, she definitely had kind of, the sexy schoolgirl thing going on. And so I don't know. Again, it's like I think back to the first couple of episodes of season one, and she actually had some semblance of style.
Mm-hmm. She still does occasionally.
But she just has
her misses that are really misses.
Yeah, lately they've been really, really misses. But so, which is kind of funny because wasn't it in season one when Santana said, "You look homeschooled"?
Yeah.
And that one always cracked me up.
But we did get one listener voicemail about Santana.
Hi, Josh, Jen, and Ed. It's listener Mike from New York. Long-time listener, first-time caller, I guess, even though that sounds really cheesy. One of my favorite Santana moments would have to be her duet with Mercedes, the Boy Is Mine song from, last season. I think it was, episode 16 or whatever. But, yeah, that's one of... I think that was the first actual time I heard her singing, and it was just... I liked it a lot. But she also did good on the Bad Romance. And I also have a question for you guys. Do you guys prefer the Glee version of the songs, or do you prefer the original songs more? I'll be listening to this episode. Thanks for letting me call you. Bye.
Well, we'll definitely take a listen to The Boy Is Mine here in just a second, but that is kind of an interesting question. I think it depends on the song for me. Sometimes I prefer the Glee version, sometimes I prefer the original, and it kind of depends on how far the Glee version is from the original and how much affection I have for the original.
Yeah, I don't think there's any song that they've done in Glee that I haven't liked the cover of. So I've either loved the song to begin with, or just been aware of the song to begin with. But I don't think that they've ever lost me as a fan on the song. So
they've never changed your opinion on
exactly,
the song.
Exactly. But, I mean, there are songs that I'm aware of that they've performed, and I'm like, oh, I kind of like that now. Though they've definitely kind of upped the ante on the songs that I wasn't so crazy about. But they've never heard a song, so...
Ed, do you have an opinion on this one?
That makes any sense.
Some of the songs, like some like Need You Now, I don't even like the Glee version. And then other songs, like Animal, I appreciate both. It's just, For every song, it's different, and if there's like a more of an emotional connection with a storyline that somehow could be connected with the song, then definitely I'm gonna prefer the Glee version because obviously there's that.
That's a very good point.
So there's like my issue with Need You Now is I felt like they didn't really need each other now. So it's like whatever, I guess. But there's other songs like that I didn't even hear of, such as Run Joey Run, and now that's a regular listen on my iPod. So
oh man,
I'm
you gotta,
so sorry.
You should download the original version of that one. It's creepy.
Yeah.
The girl's voice in the original version is just odd. But
she's no Charlene.
Oh well, who is? I've never been to me. So here is The Boy Is Mine as performed by Naya Rivera and Amber Riley, and a bit of this.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
Sure. You know, you look kind of familiar.
Yeah, you do too, but I just wanted to know, do you know somebody named... You know his name.
Oh yeah, definitely, I know his name.
I just wanted to let you know he's mine.
No, he's mine.
You need to give it up. Had about enough. It's not hard to see. The boy is mine. I'm sorry that you seem to be confused. To me, the boy is mine.
I think it's time we got this straight. Sit and talk face to face. There is no way you could mistake. And boy, oh man, are you insane? See, I know that you.
The one thing we learned from this song is that neither girl is right, neither girl is wrong, but the man is scum. That's a good lesson. I thought I'd get a chuckle from Jennifer on that one, and Jennifer just had like blank stare.
I'm still processing.
Well, wow,
sorry.
I just cut that
part. You know
what?
I should have given you a mercy giggle.
Something, please. Sorry, I think that's what marriage is. No. No.
No.
No, don't pity me. Don't pity giggle me.
It was a mercy giggle.
Oh. Well, moving away a bit from Santana, here is.
Hey, Josh, Jen, and Ed. This is Rob from Gulf Shores, Alabama. I just wanted to say that I love your show. And you guys always make me crack up. And I love how Josh always says the Twitter.
Thank you.
But anyways, I just saw something tonight, and I wanted to share it with you guys. I didn't know if you had seen it before or not. I was watching an old episode of Sex and the City, and it's the one with Bradley Cooper. I think it's called They Don't Shoot Single People, Do They? And I was watching it, and right at the very end of it, Carrie's eating at a restaurant outside, and the waiter comes up, and I just happened to look at him. It's hard to see his face, but it's actually Matthew Morrison. So Will Schuster is on an old Sex and the City as a waiter, and he's only on there for about like 3 seconds, and he's really young because this is like years back. But I just wanted to share that because I didn't know if anybody else had noticed. All right, Ed, thank you, and I look forward to your next show.
All right,
bye.
So,
oh, that's funny. I remember that episode. Oh, I'm gonna actually have to go back and watch
it.
Now.
Bradley Cooper did an episode of Sex and the City.
Oh yes.
Wow. So yeah, I'm gonna make a Sex and the City joke there, but after the last joke went so badly, I'm
no,
gonna move
just
on.
Just keep moving.
This reminded me. I've been mentioning meaning to mention this on the show. I was watching I Think I Love My Wife. Like 2 weeks ago, the Chris Rock film, this movie's maybe 6 or 7 years old, starring and written and directed by Chris Rock and also written by Louis C.K. And there's a scene where in the beginning where he's walking through, I think it's Neiman Marcus in New York City, and he walks by, and the whole gag of the scene is that he goes to this store to have the female sales girls talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so as he's walking through the store, all the male salespeople come up to him and say, you know, can I help you, sir? And he says no, until a female salesperson comes up to him, and then he says yes. And so a couple of the salespeople ask him, and he says no. And then one of them is Matthew Morrison. And he says, no, I'm good. And he takes a couple more steps. And the next one's Ian Brennan.
Oh, that's funny.
And then he takes a... And how has this never been mentioned before? Like, I tried to look it up, and I couldn't really find confirmation either way. But I swear that was Matthew Morrison and Ian Brennan in the same shot.
Do you remember which episode it was?
By chance, it was a movie called...
I'm thinking of TV shows still. Sorry.
but yeah, you know, it is funny to see the kids pop up. We were talking once about how we saw Corey Monteith in a Canadian sci-fi original movie once, just kind of showing up randomly. We got this message from listener Harrison, and this is about the next episode that we are going to get in a couple weeks.
Ooh.
Hey, Gleeful, it's your biggest fan in the United States, Harrison from Allen, Texas, again. I just thought I'd touch on a few things. Does anybody notice Will was talking to Gwyneth Paltrow, a.k.a. Holly Holiday, and they had a little flirtatious thing going on? And then the other thing I noticed was at the when they were talking about the new season premiere, we noticed that there were four members of Sue's little hate glee club. Sue, Terry, Sandy, and a mysterious unknown figure.
So
do you have any thoughts on who that is?
Oh, wait.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. Hello?
So yes, actually, we didn't mention this in the last episode, but in the preview for the next episode, Sue assembled like a Hate Will Schuster League of people, and they were Terry, Sandy, and the male figure. I put it out to the listeners, and people paused it, and it's Cheyenne, the coach of Ed.
Vocal Adrenaline.
Vocal Adrenaline, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's what it is, because I remember our DVR cuts off, like, right at that last second,
yes.
And for us to actually watch that half a second before it cuts off, you have to rewind the whole episode.
So yeah,
so it's Cheyenne.
So Cheyenne is the other person on the list. I can't remember his character's name. Ed, do you remember his character name?
No.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm being terrible right now. I can't think of that.
He's the coach of Vocal Adrenaline. So for the people, for the trivia hounds, that was one thing that we caught in the preview for the next episode. And we didn't really discuss Will's relationship with Holly Holiday in the last one. There's not much to say, but apparently they are still together, and they are, you know, chummy. So they're talking on the phone, flirting a little bit.
I mean, and if Holly was smart, she wouldn't have brought up the question of whether or not that Emma was still in love with him, because now that's only going to make her prospects a little tougher.
That is true.
She kind of jiggle that can of worms.
Jiggling the can of worms.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then a lot of people asked about how we felt about Blackbird in the last episode, since that one really didn't come up in our conversation. Blackbird being Kurt's solo that kicked off Blaine's change of heart in his feelings for him. My comment had just been, I thought it seemed a little kind of out of nowhere a bit. And I would have rather spent that time at regionals or possibly in the judges' room or developing deeper storylines. So I felt it was a little unnecessary, but Jennifer?
No, I loved it. Well, I mean, I did mention briefly on the last episode that I loved seeing Kurt again and, you know, seeing him have a solo. And I thought it was a beautiful, perfect song for him. So yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, they were able to fit so much in there. It's like, yeah, of course you would like to see a little bit more here and there of different elements of the show, but as I was watching it, I never felt like, wow, I wish they hadn't, you know, lingered so long. I thought it was really great. My only concern is that Kurt was the only one who cared about Pavarotti. Not a single person. Like, even meh. And it was just he and Blaine at the funeral.
I thought he was going to get kicked out of the Warblers, because when they gave him Pavarotti, didn't they say, like, this is your responsibility.
You know,
like, this is a symbol
your
of your
sacred oath.
Yeah, exactly. So when he said Pavarotti's dead, I was like, oh, this is how Kurt and Blaine are going to go back to New Directions, because he's going to get kicked out of the Warblers and he's going to have to get back. I don't know. So, Ed, how did you feel about Blackbird in the last episode?
It was cute, and Kurt's outfit was fierce, for real. If I could wear that suit, I'd be wearing it now, like, just around.
His kind of like noir goth black.
Very, very tailored. Yes,
it was very sweet.
Very.
I thought it wasn't like super relevant to the plot, but it was the catalyst that helped. That helped Klain happen, even though Klain was going to happen anyways. And I don't care what people say, Blurt is not as good as Klain.
I like Blurt a lot, but it's just so close to Bert, you know.
Oh,
his dad.
Yes,
it's just so close to his dad.
Yeah, that would be odd.
It would be Blurt and Bert.
Yeah, Kurt's got a lot of them. He's also got Furt, which is a little weird. Let's go ahead and take a listen to Blackbird, since we didn't get a chance to last time, and here is Chris Cole.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the light of the dark black.
Like to point out, Ed, that someone already retweeted Josh Fix This, so you can get excited about that.
From the Gleeful one?
No, someone else already retweeted it. We haven't even finished the show. He doesn't even know what it means yet. Joey's
but it doesn't matter.
It's just the world wants me to fix things. That's what we've established.
I got a new t-shirt idea.
Well, we don't have a lot more to discuss on this one. I think I had... we had one more quick voicemail to play before we shut her down here.
Hey, Gleeful. My name is Aaron. I'm from New Milford, Connecticut. It's kind of just a random question about the podcast itself. I realize that a lot of people call in and ask, like, I wonder if this is too late or anything like that. I was just wondering, like, when you guys record... in accordance to, like, when the show airs, when you stop, listening to the voicemails and when you actually record the show and when you release it. So I think it'd be nice for everyone to know. I love you guys' show. The best. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Aaron,
yes, usually what we do is Glee's on Tuesday and we record on Wednesday, which gives us enough time to watch it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And so we usually record Wednesday evening. We've never been able to nail down like a consistent time, but we do try about that. So yeah, you know, if you see the show on Tuesday and you want to leave us a voicemail on Wednesday, Wednesday morning.
Before 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Low you Pacificers.
We're the slow coast.
That's usually the best time to get a voicemail on the show. And then I listen to the voicemails before we do the show, except for once or twice I forgot to listen to the voicemails, and then I just play them randomly, and it's been uncanny how well they seg into the conversation.
Perfect segues.
So the voicemails are awesome. It's one of the cooler things that we've done, and it's great to hear everybody's voice. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, you can do so by calling us at 424-258-GLEE. That's 424-258-4533.
And what number can we text to find out what Knesset is saying next week, Ryan?
We don't have a text.
Yeah.
Nothing. Lost nothing. Nothing.
I'm not going to give out my voice, my email, or my cell phone.
I'm just going to bring you to Ryan Seacrest saying the number twice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
Are you going to remind us that this isn't an 800 number, even though it hasn't been an 800 number since season 2? Oh, my God, Ryan, get over it.
Well, if you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can do so by emailing us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, which is at www.gleefulpodcast.com. And of course, you can go to the Facebook fan page, search for Gleeful. You can find us on Twitter at gleefulpodcast.
Or search Trouty Mouth.
Or search Trouty Mouth.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Search Trouty Mouth. Yay, us.
Yeah, we totally recorded that. So you can also find us on Twitter. Jennifer and I have a show about American Idol, if you'd like to listen to that, which is called The Idol Review. You can search for that at theidolreview.com. And Ed has a blog, which you can find at Edward Diodano.
I post it all the time on the Glee feed. I don't know. I don't know if Josh is annoyed by that, but whatever. I could use the views.
he sounds annoyed.
That's so the conversation to have on the show. but yeah, we want to welcome all of the new listeners who survived this far. Yay. Into the episode. When we don't have an episode of Glee to discuss, the conversation can be a bit fractured. So, but stick with us, because it's always fun to talk a little Glee and to listen to a little music. And in this case, talk a little bit about Santana. Next time, we're going to talk about Mark Salling's solo album, Pipe Dreams, and a little bit about the upcoming Matthew Morrison solo album. And there's a new single we'll listen to. And then we actually have a version of him performing a song from the record live that mm-hmm. we'll go ahead and take a listen to that we heard him perform. So that'll be fun. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
I would love to. Kissatu, Briam, Taylor Roach, Yemily, Erica GK11, I Love Chickens. I like chickens too. APL Viper and Potter Fan 7. Thank you so much for reviewing us. It's been fantastic reading your reviews.
Nice.
I do read them. I do awesome. Read them. Whenever I'm feeling down, I always go to the iTunes reviews and I read them. I'm like, aw, some people like me. That's cute.
Positive affirmations. Yay.
Exactly. We also, if you send us an email, I guarantee it will get read. I am so behind on replying to them, though. So I apologize. I've not been able to reply to them. But thank you so much for all of the emails. Also to some of the Twitter followers. You know, it's always great to see you guys on Twitter. And that's fun. And we don't have enough time to mention all of you, but it's just great to talk to everyone. So that's about it. We'll be back next week to discuss a little bit of music and more talk of the Gleeverse. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Annette, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
This time, I want to give a shout out to Becca and her father, who listen to the podcast on their way to school every morning. Well, not every morning, once a week, I guess. So have a nice day and stuff.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Dana Andrew said broom. Give him the runes, and passing the muse lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills.
Trying to attack me with a rubber band. Seriously?